Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. Health Cetera in the Catskills is broadcast from the WIOX radio station in Roxbury, New York, which is the ancient and unceded territory of the Esopus clan of the Lenape people, also known as the Munsee, who are the first caretakers living with this land. Today, we live in the influence of what is now called the Lenape Nation of the Northeastern Woodlands in the United States and Canada. Their territory includes present-day northeastern Delaware, New Jersey, and eastern Pennsylvania, along the Delaware River watershed, New York City, western Long Island, and the lower Hudson Valley. Well, today on Health Cetera, I'm going to talk to Dr. Cinda Rushton, a registered nurse and the Anne and George Bunting Professor of Clinical Ethics at the Johns Hopkins University's Berman Institute of Bioethics and School of Nursing, but about a study she's completed of nurses from 20 health systems in Maryland about what matters to them in terms of staying in their positions. Her work is relevant to health systems everywhere that are struggling to retain nurses. But first, 2 weeks ago, I re-aired a 2022 interview that I did of local Michael DiBenedetto, a retired biology teacher and more than that, and Samantha Totoni, who was a doctoral student when this was being recorded, about hunting and lead bullets. Well, it is hunting season, and the issue of lead and bullets is so important that I wanted to continue that discussion, but this time live with Pete Nye, a retired wildlife biologist who worked for the New York State Department of Conservation for 40 years, leading the Endangered Species Program and overseeing many research and management projects involving all of the state's rarest species. Pete, thank you so much for coming on to Health Cetera in the Catskills today.
Hey, you're welcome. My pleasure to be here.
So you've been concerned about hunting with lead bullets for some time now. Tell us why it's such a concern.
Well, it really started early in my career with the Endangered Species Program with DEC. We saw many, many birds, especially bald eagles, which were very rare at the time, coming in diagnosed with lead poisoning, either alive or dead at rehabilitators facilities. And it was really tragic to see, especially in light of the fact that we had been working so hard in New York State to try and return the bald eagle population from where it was when I began in 1975 of one nesting pair in the entire state, and then spending 13 years going to the state of Alaska, collecting young eagles, bringing them back into New York State, and involving a whole lot of effort by a lot of people to try and rebuild the population. And then seeing, eagles coming in, again, sick or dead from lead poisoning, I just said, you know, this is just such a waste, and we know it doesn't have to be this way. We know there are alternatives. So that's really why I became concerned. And then jump ahead to the last, say, 10 years or 20 years in New York State. I worked very closely with the wildlife pathologist in New York State, and we've had well over 100 bald and golden eagles just coming into pathology dead, diagnosed with lead poisoning. And that's just bald and golden eagles. There are many, many other raptors of every kind, like red-tailed hawks, for instance, and other birds like ravens and crows that also feed on carcasses or gut piles that are left by hunters out in the field, and that are succumbing to lead poisoning. So there's literally probably thousands of birds over time that are dying from lead poisoning, which really is needless.
Yes. And Michael had shared with me that even those that are taken to a rehab facility and you think that they've been rehabilitated, and when they're released back out into the wild, they often die because the lead has permanently damaged their ability to navigate as well as they do. Is that, you agree with that?
That's definitely true. You know, it's a neurotoxin, so you see these eagles coming in to unable to walk, to hold their balance. Their head is just circling around, unable to hunt, obviously. But yes, if an eagle can be saved from lead poisoning, which is rare, it involves a process called chelation, which is very difficult and very expensive to do. So even if an eagle is ultimately released after chelation, you're not sure if they're really going to rejoin the population or succumb to, you know, background lead levels that have been there regardless, and you're just not sure that it's a success.
And for those listeners who may not be familiar with Health Cetera, you may be asking, what does this have to do with the health of people? And here on Health Cetera, we define health very broadly, that indeed I can connect everything to the health of people, but it's also about the health of the planet, and it's about the health of the fauna and the flora who are around us. I can't imagine a world in which these raptors did not exist. And so while you may be questioning, well, okay, so some birds die, it also, this issue is also important to the health of people in direct ways. And I want to get to this study that was done of venison donated by hunters. But before we do, you know, some hunters argue, look, I removed the lead bullet from the deer before, you know, I process it. Why is that not sufficient?
Well, that's a very good point, and I think that many of us, certainly a lot of hunters, certainly biologists, myself, back in the early days of this, you know, 25, 35, 40 years ago, I don't think we realized the extent that lead actually fragments when it hits tissue and how many tiny little fragments of lead are distributed quite a distance in the flesh that they hit. There's been many studies since that time that, you know, like using blocks of gel where bullets are sent through, and you can visually see how the lead actually just distributes in a wide range of distance from the initial impact area in these tiny little fragments that don't even sometimes show up on X-ray. So I don't think we realized the extent of that. So I think awareness is a big consideration here.
Now, my nephew is a hunter, and I, when I started covering this, I reached out to him and I said, what kind of bullet? I hope you're not using lead bullets. And he said he was not, which gave me a lot of comfort. But we do know that hunters try to be generous with the meat that they are able to get from hunting a deer or other animal, but it's also a concern. Tell us about the recent study of venison that was donated by hunters to food pantries in New York.
Yes, well, the idea that, you know, lead was contaminating hunted meat, and we knew it was affecting eagles, et cetera, kind of led us down the path of, well, you know, raptors and eagles aren't the only things that are consuming, you know, lead ammunition hunted meat. What about the hunters themselves or people who may be consuming this venison? So in 2022, a study was launched here in New York, first time ever, it had never been done, to try and sample some of the venison that is annually donated to food pantries throughout New York State. This has been a longstanding program where well over 2 million pounds a year of venison are donated to food pantries around the state, which is a very vital source for a needy segment of our population and a very high protein source, so a good potential source of food. But not all of the donated venison, obviously, is either bow hunted or hunted with non-lead ammunition. So we started to look at a very small sample of some of the venison that was coming into the food pantries. We looked at about 107 pounds of meat that had been mostly ground up for ground venison, and first x-rayed that at Cornell University, and in some cases lead fragments showed up very clearly on the x-rays, but as I alluded to earlier, a lot of the very tiny fragments, especially deep in the meat, just don't show up on x-rays. So we followed that up with a quantitative analysis using high-caliber chemical equipment available at Cornell to actually analyze subsamples of all of these samples that we collected from food pantries to determine, is there more lead than we're seeing? And yes, indeed, we did find lead that the x-rays did not show up. The bottom line was that 19% of the entire sample that we collected, as I said, which was a very small amount compared to what comes into food pantries, 19% was contaminated with lead. And as you know, I'm sure, as a nurse and a health practitioner, there is no safe level of lead. Lead simply accumulates in your bone and in your bodies and has, you know, myriad effects on the health and neuro behavior of organisms, including humans. So that's quite concerning.
Yes, and we should point out that the people at highest risk are pregnant women and young children. And so when you think of a family using a food pantry, do you really want the meat that you're generously donating to actually poison them, which is
Absolutely.
What is happening.
It kind of begs the question of, you know, in my mind it's clear, but should we be doing more to protect this source of, you know, very needy and good food that's coming into food pantries? And I think the answer is yes, but
yes.
How we do that is another question.
So we have banned lead in gasoline, in paint, and other products. So why aren't we banning lead bullets?
Well, that's a very good question also. I think it has to do with tradition and, you know, people, you know, sometimes don't want to admit that what they're doing may be harmful, as true as it may be. So I get that. You know, it's tough to make a change, and especially when somebody is saying, you know, you're doing something that's harmful here. There are other reasons that there's been a little resistance to this. The non-lead ammunition, like copper ammunition, does cost a little bit more than lead ammunition. It is a little bit harder to get. But having said all that, back in 1992, when we discovered that lead was contaminating waterfowl and therefore also contaminating eagles that scavenged on waterfowl, the federal government banned all lead for waterfowl hunting in 1992.
Wow.
And as much of a shock as that was, it was a fairly smooth transition to the, you know, provision of non-lead shotgun ammunition, and the prices came down. So I think once, if you'll excuse the expression, you bite the bullet and say we want to transition to non-lead rifle ammunition, that I think industry would step up and make it more available, and price would come down. So I think that is something that can be accomplished.
Now, my understanding is that there are some states that have banned lead bullets for hunting, as well as some states that do test venison that is donated to food pantries for lead. Is that so?
That is so, yes. As far as I know, California is the only state that has completely banned the use of lead ammunition. That was in 2019. There are some other voluntary places where lead is not used, especially in relation to populations of condors, like in Arizona and Southern California, where they know there's a, you know, there's the number one cause of mortality of the reintroduced condor population is lead poisoning because they're such scavengers. As far as I know, California is the only one that's banned lead. The state of Minnesota is, I think, the only one that I know that requires every piece of venison donated to their venison donation program to be x-rayed prior to distribution. Many other states have looked at the idea of venison being contaminated. Wisconsin just completed a study where 15% of all the sample that they sampled was contaminated with lead, and the average amount of lead was 16 parts per million. So there are other states that are concerned about this. One of the problems is that the federal government does not regulate lead in donated game meat. So a lot of states fall back on that and say, well, if the federal government is regulating it, we don't need to either, which I think is a mistake. And I think states should step up and do more on their own.
And it seems to me the pantries could be asking when venison is donated, could be asking what kind of bullets did you use? And if the person says they use lead bullets, to explain to them that they don't want their meat because of the lead poisoning that would accrue. Do you know if pantries are taking these steps?
No, unfortunately, that is without a doubt true, but it would be very hard to confirm that or ensure that even if somebody said, I didn't use a lead bullet, once these deer go into the food processors, sometimes they're all mixed together, and a package that you might get at the venison at the food pantry may not be just from one deer. It may be from a mixture of deer. So that'd be very tough to enforce or ensure. But the other troubling thing is that, you know, in all the food pantries that we visited, we didn't see any sort of warning whatsoever that, you know, beware, some of this venison could have lead. It could affect your health. There are no warnings posted, despite the fact that the New York State Department of Health says that they alert food pantries to this possibility. There are no posted warnings, and I think largely the pantry users and the pantry organizers just don't even realize this.
So that might be a nice, maybe I can get a nursing student to take that on as a project, to get to food pantries and create signage that they could all just use. We'll have to work on that. So just quickly, what is the status of the raptor population in New York State from where are we at with lead poisoning with that population?
Well, we continue to get poisoned eagles in almost weekly, especially during, you know, the fall and winter months. Having said that, the population of eagles has increased tremendously since we initiated our restoration program in the early 1970s. I think we estimate right now there's probably 400, 450 breeding pairs in New York State. So at this point, you know, the eagle population is doing pretty well. We're very concerned about the lead. We're also concerned about avian flu, which is spreading through many bird populations. But that's a topic for another time.
Yeah, although I understand from Michael DiBenedetto that it's because of the avian flu, it's a reason why we need to be even more careful about the use of lead, because we can't assume that this population is going to stay as strong as it has been in the last couple years.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what if people would like more information about these issues and alternatives to lead in bullets, is there a good resource that you would recommend?
Yes, definitely. There are several good resources. One that I would recommend is something called sportingleadfree.org.
Sportingleadfree.org.
That's out of the state of Wyoming, and they have a tremendous website describing why we need to change from lead, what can be done. They have rebate programs for lead ammunition. So I would encourage people, especially if they want to understand more, to click on the why tab under that website that they visit. It will explain a lot. DEC, New York State DEC, also has a lot of ammunition on information on non-lead ammunition. You can go to the DEC website and click on something about choose non-lead ammunition, and that will get you a whole bunch of new information on lead and why we want to move away from it. There was a lead working group established by DEC, and their complete report is a PDF you can look at on the DEC website. They give you information on ballistics of non-lead ammunition and types of non-lead ammunition and where you can find non-lead ammunition, which is very valuable. They also have, in conjunction with this Wyoming group, a rebate program to offer hunters up to $60 rebate on purchase of a box of non-lead ammunition.
Great.
And you can look all that up at a place called huntersforeagleconservation.org/New York.
One more time.
huntersforeagleconservation.org/New York.
Great. This is great information. And I want to encourage all listeners, if you know somebody who is a hunter, ask them, what kind of bullets do you use? And do you use lead bullets? And maybe share with them these websites and some of this information. This, as Peter Nye has said, the donation of venison to pantries is really important, and I love it, you know. And so the idea of a hunter feeding their family lead-contaminated meat, I'm not quite sure people are all aware of the dangers of this. So ask the people you know who are hunters, do you use lead in your bullets, and maybe you want to not do that, and these resources
yes, and
will be
great. And don't do it in an accusatory fashion.
Yes.
Do it in a more of a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Pete Nye is a retired wildlife biologist who worked for the New York State Department of Conservation for 40 years and is still paying attention to these important issues around how we hunt and around animal preservation, conservation, and working with endangered species. Thank you so much for the work that you do, Pete.
Yeah, my pleasure, Diana. Thanks for you also doing this kind of work.
Yes. Well, we'll have you on next year. I like to do this every year during hunting season. We'll get you and
okay.
Michael both on. All right.
Very
have
good.
A good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So, listeners, you've got a charge here. Yes. If you know a hunter, ask them, what kind of bullets do you use? Well, I'm Diana Mason. You're listening to Health Center in the Catskills.
WIOX is supported by you and the following community underwriters. The Studio Upstate Gym and Fitness Space, 850 Main Street in Margaretville. Open 7 days a week from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monthly, annual, and part-time resident memberships are available, as well as day passes. Members receive a key to the gym to use at any time. Personal training available. The Studio Upstate Gym and Fitness Space, Main Street in Margaretville. On Instagram at The Studio Upstate NY. 845-586-6087. 845-586-6087. FNBC Construction and Cleaning in Margaretville. For commercial and residential construction, cleaning, repairs, and maintenance services for houses, apartments, offices, universities, restaurants, warehouses, and supermarkets. FNBC Construction and Cleaning. 917-686-0283. 917-686-0283 or fnbccorp.com. Ryle Sheridan Carroll Architects, serving the tri-state area and the Catskills with environmentally sustainable high design projects for residential, commercial, and institutional clients. New construction, additions, and renovations from concept to completion, including contractor selection and construction supervision. Ryle Sheridan Carroll Architects, 646-809-4343 or email info@ryallsheridan.com.
Hi, this is Mary Skinner, host of This Week on Repeat on WIOX Roxbury, where I play a selection of new alternative that's on repeat on my playlist this week, and some old favorites too. So tune in and join me alternate Saturdays from noon to 2 p.m. right here at WIOX.